Hey, this is Derek Wooten. I'm lead pastor of Makers Church here in Cincinnati, Ohio, where our desire is to make disciples and make a difference. Thank you so much for joining us through our podcast. We pray this message speaks life and encouragement into you and what God is doing in your life. Hope you enjoy it.
I'm going to get into the Word and just teach for a few minutes, and then I believe we're just going to experience an outpouring of the Lord. But I'll remind you, how many of you guys know that our expectation shapes the experience that we have with Christ? Our expectation shapes what God does. And so as we get into the Word, I want us to get into the Word with faith. I want us to get into the Word with joy and believe that we're going to be transformed by the truth of His Word and the power of His Spirit. I got anybody that's going to come into agreement with me with that today. If you are, come on, lift your hands all over this room. I want us to pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you during this Feast of Pentecost, God, on this Pentecost Sunday, God, that we are stepping, Lord, into a fresh increase of who you are in every part of our lives. And Lord, God, prepare us today, God, to receive and respond, to receive and respond to your Spirit, God, to what you're drawing us into in this season. Lord, we love you and we thank you, God, that we get to be your people, God, and walk, God, in the fullness of your Spirit in the earth. So God, give us ears today to hear, God, a heart to receive, and Father, give us a desire to respond to the outpouring of your glory today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Come on, if you're ready, somebody shout amen. Amen. Come on, be seated. I'm excited to continue our little series that we started last week, Catching Fire. Look to your neighbor and tell them, say, you're combustible. Tell them, you're combustible. Talking about catching fire, and today we are celebrating the Feast of Pentecost. The Feast of Pentecost started Friday at sundown. It's Pentecost Sunday, and can I remind you, Makers Church, that every Feast of Pentecost throughout history, it is always a time of fresh increase. It is a time of fresh increase. Somebody say increase. How many of you guys know increase is a good thing? Unless you're on the scale. I'm just... Fresh increase. It is a time of fresh increase. I don't know about you, but I'm completely okay with God increasing every good thing in my life. How about you? Increasing every good thing in my life. This has always been a time of fresh increase. We can find throughout history and through God's word, during the Feast of Pentecost, there's been an increase in revelation. Pastor, how do you know? Because this is the exact time when God released the Torah to his people on Mount Sinai. There was an increase in understanding who God was. There was always an increase in provision during this time. The people of God, they would come together. They would celebrate the provision of God for their physical needs from the past year, and then they would praise him for what was coming in the next year. How many of you guys know that we need to give God praise for being our provider? Because how many of you guys know his arm is not short? He knows what you need, when you need it, and because he is so good, he will always provide in every part of our lives. But there was an increase in provision, and then we find there was an increase in power. Somebody shout power. An increase in power. Acts chapter 2, we know those 120 folks, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire, and there was a power from heaven that came upon them. And can I just tell you today, I believe before we leave this house today, we are going to feel an increase in our spirit of everything God's doing in this season in Jesus' name. If you believe that, somebody shout amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we see something. If there's increase today, we know this is our God-ordained year for us to rise. Our vision for this year is to rise in every good thing in the Lord. And if you remember something, the definition of rise is to come up, to go up, to increase. To come up, to go up, to increase. And I am convinced today in my spirit that there is an open heaven over this house for Makers Church to rise in fresh revelation of who God is and what he's saying, to rise in fresh power and let the fresh fire of the Holy Spirit in our lives continue to lead us for the fullness of what he has in this season. Look to your neighbor and say, I'm on the rise. Come on, tell him, I'm on the rise, I'm on the rise. And if you remember last Sunday, the challenge as we started this series, Catching Fire, and preparing for Pentecost, I said there were three things throughout history that have been done by God's people, and we wanted to practice those this week. That we said we want to position ourselves to receive through time with the Lord, through praise, through worship, and seeking him. Can I tell you, in the Wooten household, every night we had that time this week. We had more conversations about the person of the Holy Spirit. Some were awesome, some were were ridiculous, but we navigated through them and God was so good. But there was a hunger. We positioned ourselves to receive through time with the Lord. And then we prepared. Somebody shout prepare. We prepared ourselves by reading. I don't know about you, but I was in Acts. I was in John 14, 15, and 16, reading what Jesus had promised about the Holy Spirit and how he would come to us and be our helper and our friend and our God. And then we pursued. I hope that you pursued a fresh infilling and outpouring of the Holy Spirit this week, because I've learned something about our God. When you come hungry, you leave filled up. When you come ready to receive, God does not play Marco Polo with his people. He does not confuse us. He gets right where we are and he says, honey, if you want more, I'm ready to give you more. So I hope you came ready to pursue and receive. If you did, somebody say amen. And so we positioned, we prepared, and we pursued. And for a few minutes today, as we get ready to come together and ask the Jesus to either baptize us for the first time or give us another infilling of the Holy Ghost in fire, I want to make sure that we're ready to receive those things. Now, let's talk about this just for a minute, because I want to answer two questions that I will hope bring understanding and clarity on why we should desire and need the baptism with the Holy Spirit in fire in our lives. I want to answer two simple questions about these things. Now, let me say this for a minute. Some of you say, well, Pastor, it's one baptism. That's right, it is one baptism, but how many of you guys also know it's many fillings? It's one baptism, but it's many fillings. The Bible is actually clear on this. It's not one filling will do you. It's as many as you need. It's not just one filling, one time will do you. It's as many as you need. In Acts chapter 2, listen, in Acts chapter 2, they were baptized and filled. And then in Acts chapter 4, they were filled all over again. We see this, even the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5:18 says to continually be filled with the Spirit. Let me say it this way. All believers need to develop a continuing relationship with Holy Spirit in order to go forward in his purpose and plans for their lives. All of us, not some of us. All of us need to develop a continuing relationship with the Holy Spirit. So let's answer these two questions today, and let's start right here, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus talking to his people, he said this. He said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be weird. Ooh, let's get in it for a minute. I said it last week and I meant it. There has been so much terrible and muddy teaching about the person of Holy Spirit. And people have labeled Pentecost as a denominational thing. Honey, Pentecost is a kingdom ordained part of the culture of God. It has nothing to do with a rigid religious denomination. But so many people, when they read that verse because of what they saw or grew up, they see that you shall be weird. But how many of you guys know the Holy Spirit is not weird? He is wonderful. He is not weird. He is wonderful. And notice what Jesus said. He said, you shall be witnesses. I said this last week, at least in second service. I think Jesus is thankful that he has a lot of worshipers, but he's looking for more witnesses. He's looking for more witnesses. And listen, you need the baptism with the Holy Spirit and fire to be the kind of witness Jesus desires you to be. But he says, you shall be a witness to me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. How many of you guys know in parentheses right there, that should say Cincinnati, Ohio, to the ends of the earth. That's where we are, and God's still doing and pouring out in our region and city today. So see this now. He said, you shall be my witnesses. It will make you, the Holy Spirit will make you a witness for Jesus on the earth, a power-infused, fire-filled witness for the kingdom of God everywhere you go. If you want to be that, somebody say amen. A power-infused, fire-filled witness for the kingdom of God. But some people still, even here sitting here today, and I'm so glad you're here and I'm glad you're watching online, but listen, some people say, Pastor, being filled with God's Spirit and speaking in tongues just sounds crazy to me. Doesn't sound logical. Let's back up for a minute. It is a heavenly language, so it's not going to be logically explained or naturally brought about because it is supernatural. So go ahead and throw your wisdom, which is not as high as you probably think it is, your wisdom out the window. You don't need your wisdom. You need the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. But so many people still say, Pastor, I like the idea and understanding of being baptized with the Holy Spirit, but this whole thing about speaking the heavenly language and speaking in tongues, it just sounds crazy. Let's just back up for a minute. Let's talk about something. Because the truth is, if you're a believer in Jesus, you believe that you believe and you say you have received salvation in Jesus, let's talk about what you already believe. That means if you say you are a disciple of Jesus, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he left heaven and stepped into time, which he was outside of. He came to earth and put on flesh. He was born to a virgin. Let's think about that for a minute, please. He was born to a virgin, grew up sinless, began a ministry at 30, and by 33 was crucified for humanity, died, got back up from the dead with all authority and power, and then ascended back to the Father in heaven. And so you're telling me you'll believe all that, but a little mandarabasai weirds you out so much that you get so afraid and so nervous. If you believe all that, you might as well go ahead and just step all in. Because the Holy Spirit's not weird. He's not weird. Somebody say, he's not weird. He's wonderful. And so for the people of God in this season, I wish I could talk about specifically a heavenly language more, but the truth is, the Apostle Paul said, I wish all of you did. Number one, because all of us can. How many of you guys know God gives a grace to every believer to pray in the Spirit? But see this for a minute and understand this as we look at this today, church, that all of those, all of the things, all the gifts of the Holy Spirit are beautiful and wonderful. And it's not weird and it's not too far. It's exactly what we need to walk in the fullness of the life Jesus died to give us. It's exactly what we need to walk in the fullness of the life that Jesus died to give us. So let's talk about this. We talk about receiving the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Listen, how do you receive it? By grace through faith. Just like salvation. God's grace is on us to give us a gift in the Holy Spirit that we all desperately, somebody say desperately, that we all desperately need in our lives. And so listen, just like salvation is a gift, the Holy Spirit baptism is a gift. That all we have to do is ask and receive, and Jesus will baptize us in the Holy Spirit and fire. So see this for a minute. The Holy Spirit is a gift to each of us. And listen, even today, he is your helper, he is your friend, and he is your God. And he knows everything about everything. And he wants to lead you, he wants to empower you, he wants to equip you and guide you into the fullness of everything Jesus promised you as a son or a daughter in the kingdom of God. What a beautiful promise offered. Now let's even back up and let's be logical for a minute. If God has a promise that will bless you, why would you not want to receive it? Amen. And so let's go ahead and take that stigma off as we get a little deeper today. Because there's still too many good people that when you bring up this subject, they just get nervous and their butt gets tight in church and they need to relax a little bit and understand the Holy Spirit is so good and we all need him. And I said butt in church, and if you don't like it, I'm sorry. But I do love you. So let's answer two questions. Number one, why the Holy Spirit? Why the Holy Spirit? You want the simple answer? Because Jesus said so. If any parent is in the room, that is the greatest line on the planet. When your kid asks you something, because I said so. Come on, somebody. Listen, if there was one thing I was excited about before I had kids about having kids is one day they would look at me and say, Dad, why? Because I said so. That was a sweet moment when I got to use that. But why the Holy Spirit? Why the Holy Spirit? Because Jesus said so. Look at John 16, verses 7 through 15. Let's look at Bible today. Let's see Bible. This is what Jesus said. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage. Somebody say advantage. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, who's the helper? The Holy Spirit. The helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. How many of you guys know conviction is a wonderful thing? the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, we should all be thankful that the Holy Spirit would convict us, because he is the agent of God in the earth that is letting us know there's something not right in our hearts and our relationship with God. We all need to be convicted. He said he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the rule of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit, has come, he will guide you into how much truth? He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Can I just let you know something? If you are wondering what's going to happen in our world, like most of us, I suggest you tap into the power and the truth of the Holy Spirit, because he is revealing what's going to happen in the earth in coming days. He does. But he says he will guide you into all truth and tell you things to come. Keep going, two more verses. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. What is Jesus clearly communicating here about the Holy Spirit? That the Holy Spirit is God, just like God the Father and God the Son. He's the same. How many of you guys know he's just like Jesus? The Holy Spirit's just like Jesus. The Bible teaches without a doubt that God the Holy Spirit is co-equal, co-existent, and co-eternal with God the Father and God the Son. It is the Holy Trinity. God is three in one. How many of you guys believe that? We can go scripture today and I can show you they eternally exist in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Go read 1 John 5:7 and you can see that. But we see that just like we should have a relationship with the Father. Is anybody thankful we can have a relationship with God the Father? I'm thankful that we can call him Dad and he calls us son and daughter. Just like we can have a relationship with the Father, just like we can have a relationship with Jesus the Son, we should also have a dynamic personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. We should also desire a dynamic personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. Look at John 14 quickly, John 14, 15 through 18. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Here's what I thought about as I read that passage this week. There are still so many believers that they say they're in the kingdom, but they still walk around with an orphan spirit. And that orphan spirit is so detrimental to the destiny that God has for each of our lives. Listen to me. If you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, he's going to confirm what God the Father and God the Son have already said. You are not an orphan. You have been adopted into the family and kingdom of God. And you are a son and daughter of the Most High God. And you don't walk around saying, I wonder where I'm from. I wonder what I'm supposed to do. No, the Holy Spirit reminds you and reveals those things to you, that you are not an orphan, but you have identity in Christ, in Jesus' name. But see this. He said, I won't leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And once again, we see Jesus continually showing why we need the Holy Spirit. He said, he won't be abandoned. He promised another comforter. Who is that other comforter? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is that Greek word allos, which means another of the same kind, the other comforter, the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised him, and he is identical to Jesus. And so we see this, and here's what he said. He said, the Holy Spirit will not just be with you, he will be in you. In other words, Jesus said, listen, he said, there's an update coming. Come on, somebody. There's an update coming. I've been with you. He's going to be in you. I've been with you, but the Holy Spirit's going to come, and he's not just going to be with you. He is going to be in you in every part of your life. Think about this for a second. Everything believers have, all of us, every transaction of grace, all authority, all power, every responsibility, it's carried out through the power, guidance, and ministry of the Holy Spirit. He is very active in the body of Christ that invites him to sit in the seat that he should sit in. Even think about this, church. The Holy Spirit is who empowers believers to continue to do the work that Jesus started when he lived on earth. Have you thought about that? I'll go a step further. Have you ever thought about how the Holy Spirit is the CEO of the ministry and mission of Jesus? You say, no, Pastor, Jesus did all that on his own. You want to know Bible? I've got Bible to prove it. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Look right here. Look at this. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with, now you can see the verse, it'll make more sense, with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Look at that. And God, the Father, anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with what? And power. The Holy Spirit is the one that led Jesus to be able to do the things that he did on the earth. So let's talk about it. If the Holy Spirit, if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, how much more do we need the Holy Spirit? Active, continuing in every part of our life. Now let's see this for a minute. Why the Holy Spirit? Why the Holy Spirit? Because Jesus said so, and that's so important. Some people say, well, Pastor, don't I already have the Holy Spirit since I'm a believer? The Holy Spirit is in your life. But just because the Holy Spirit is present does not mean that you have been baptized with the Holy Spirit in fire. Let's get that clear. When you accept Christ, you receive the Lord into your life. So you receive God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is different than that. How many of you guys know that for every believer, there are three different baptisms? I don't have time to teach you a lot today. The first baptism is salvation. That's where the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. The blood of Jesus, that redeems you. The Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. That's 1 Corinthians. We can talk about it later. The second is water baptism. We're having three more water baptized in second service. Somebody say amen to that. That's exciting. Listen, so see that. There's salvation, there's water baptism, but it doesn't just stop there. Come on, just like when we go to graders, there is a third dip. Come on, somebody. Yes, yes. There is a third dip for you and me, and it is the baptism with the Holy Spirit. You say, Pastor, which one's that one? That's Matthew 3:11, where John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So see this, the salvation. What is the baptism of salvation? That's where you become a new creation in Christ. Water baptism is where the old person, that old life is now cut off, and then being filled with the Spirit is now you have the power to walk in the new life that Jesus has given you. Listen to me. There are too many people walking around with two baptisms, but they're still lacking the power to walk in the new life Jesus has for them. It's because they need the baptism with the Holy Ghost and fire. Somebody say amen if you believe it. We all need the baptism with the Holy Spirit and fire. But let me go further. If you're with me, somebody say amen. So Jesus came to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire. That Greek word baptize is the Greek word baptizo. And it means to dip repeatedly, to immerse, to submerge. Jesus wants to immerse you and me, submerge us in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit equips you with the power for service and ministry in the earth for the kingdom of God. He equips you and empowers you for service and ministry. Look at Luke 24:49. Again, Jesus said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Not just any kind of power, supernatural power. Supernatural power. How about Acts 1:8? We just read it. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Listen, to be powerful witnesses, to speak of the things of God, to be supernatural witnesses of God's power and service and ministry. And listen, we know the work of the ministry. It's the same for all of us. It is the Great Commission to make disciples. How many of you guys know that's all of our assignment? We may do it in different ways. We're talking about the fivefold ministry and the gifts of the Spirit in July. You need to be here. We may do it in different ways, but the assignment is the same, to make disciples of the nations. That's everybody's assignment. And listen to me, you'll be better at it when you're baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Think about that for a minute. If you're called to do something by the Lord, wouldn't you want to have access to the very thing that could make you better at it? Let's think of it this way for a minute. This church sits on top of a hill. Don't get me started on how I feel about that. Because anytime it snows on Sunday, it's expensive to have church. See? The kids agree. Our church is on top of a hill. Now, if you're at the bottom of that hill and somebody tells you, hey, I'm going to give you this bicycle unless you get to the top of the hill, that's a little bit better than walking. But honey, how many of you guys know that's going to be work? Because you're going to have to pump your legs and get up. And I promise you, because I've walked that hill on a few times and it was a mistake every time. But listen to me. By the time you get to the top of the hill, if you're riding a bike up here, you will be sweating. You will have given a lot of effort just to get to the top of that hill. You're like George Jefferson. Come on. I'm showing my age on that joke. But if somebody came and said, listen, how about I give you a motorcycle instead? Well, now, I mean, if you're like me, I've never ridden on a motorcycle. I feel like I'm just too big for some things, and that's one. That's my opinion. But if somebody offered you a motorcycle that had an engine and gasoline, how much easier would it be to get up the hill? Tremendously. In fact, it's really no effort on you whatsoever. It's relatively a smooth ride as you ride up a hill because the motorcycle's doing the work. As opposed to you riding on a Schwinn, I think there's a difference between a Schwinn and a Harley. So you say, Pastor, why is this relevant? Because there are still too many people trying to do what God called them to do, riding a Schwinn, when God says that you can have a motorcycle called the Holy Spirit, and you can be better and more effective, and things will be a little bit easier because you've got the power that I desire to give you. When we talk about it that way, that kind of example, it sounds pretty simple. But why are so many people like, listen, I want salvation and I want water baptism, but don't talk to me about the baptism with the Holy Spirit. You want to know why people say that? Because Satan has done an incredible job of deceiving the church that they don't need Holy Spirit in their lives. But he's exactly who we need to do everything God has called us to do. If you believe that, somebody say amen. So we recognize we need the Holy Spirit because he empowers us to do the things God has called us to do, to be effective witnesses, to have boldness and courage, to understand the Bible in greater ways, to have power to walk in victory over Satan, to live and walk in the supernatural on a consistent basis. We need the baptism with the Holy Spirit to see those things in our lives. But I'll go a step further. How many of you guys know the Holy Spirit is not just for manifestation? See, I remember that as a kid. Man, we'd get together on Sunday. Back in the day, the holy folks showed up on Sunday night. And there'd be so many manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And then we would sit the Holy Spirit down. We'd go to Cracker Barrel. Come on. Okay, I grew up in the South. Maybe you guys go to Bob Evans. I don't know what you do. And then they'd pick it up the next Sunday night. Because they'd say, the Holy Spirit, it's really great when he manifests himself, and it's really awesome to feel all those incredible things and experience those things. The truth is the baptism with the Holy Spirit is not just for manifestation, but for the mobilization of the church. Listen, I love you so much, but if you think the Holy Spirit baptism is about you, you're nuts. You want to know why? It's for you, but it's not about you. And listen to me. The Holy Spirit should mobilize, should do something in your spirit to say, there are lost people not going to heaven, and now I've got the power to be an effective witness for the kingdom of God everywhere I go. In other words, the Holy Spirit is not for your enjoyment, but for your deployment. To be deployed into the world in which we live, to even do the vision that God's given us for this house, to make disciples and make a difference. And if you are enjoying the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, but you're not mobilized and you're not deploying into the world that God has sent you, then you are missing the point of why you received the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Because he filled you to finish the assignment that Jesus started, to go and make disciples of the nations. Why the Holy Spirit? Because you'll never rise without him. You'll never do the things that God designed you to do without the person and the power of the Holy Spirit operating in and through your life. If you believe that, somebody say amen. Now, quickly, that's why the Holy Spirit. Let's go to number two. I need my worship team to come. Why the Holy Spirit? We've talked about it. Listen to me. Let me answer quickly now. Why fire? So we've talked about why the Holy Spirit. Why did Jesus come to baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire? Why Holy Spirit? Check. Why fire? Let's look at this. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Why fire? There's three reasons I believe it's fire. Three reasons I believe it's the Holy Spirit and fire. Number one, fire purifies. I'll be straight with you. You can get baptized with the Holy Spirit, but if you don't let the Holy Spirit continuously purify you, your power is going to go unused. The church needs to be pure again. Come on, somebody. Listen, in the month of June, we're doing a series on purity. I don't care if the world says it's Pride Month. We're going to talk about purity at the church right here at Maker's Church. We got to talk about it. Our sons and daughters are at stake. We got to talk about it.
Right.
We got to talk about it. Fire purifies. Listen to me. There's so many things that we have to put up with in this culture and see in this world. There's too much junk that sometimes gets stuck on us. We need the fire of the Holy Spirit to just melt away. Sometimes he needs to melt away pride out of our own hearts. He needs to melt away stubbornness. Anybody that didn't say amen, you're stubborn. I'm just kidding. He needs to melt away stubbornness. He needs to maybe melt away greed or lust, or maybe he needs to melt away motives that keep you from doing the things that God would like for you to do. Fire purifies. It cleanses and melts away the components that cannot withstand the fire. What did God tell Moses in Numbers 31? He said, put anything to the fire, and if it can withstand it, it'll be made pure. How can you be a power-filled witness if you're not a pure witness? You need purity. We got to be pure from the inside out, Maker's Church. What did Jesus say in Matthew 5:8? It's the pure in heart that will see and experience God. It's the pure in heart that will see and experience God. We need to be baptized in fire so we can be pure in the Lord and for the Lord. Whether it's our motives, whether it's our words, don't get me started on that one. Pure in our actions. Listen, to me, it's no coincidence that tongues of fire will sit on believers like it happened in Acts chapter 2. You want me to show you why? How about James chapter 3, verse 2? Indeed, we all, how many of us? All. No, you don't even see it yet. That's fine. You'll get there in a minute. James chapter 3, verse 2. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. It's not there yet. Hang on. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. God's so much smarter than you and me. Because one of the evidences of being filled with the Holy Spirit is that you speak in what? Oh! You want to know why? He's got to purify something that has ignition to it. He's got to purify the very thing that could start a fire in the wrong direction. I told you at the beginning of this thing, we were all made to catch fire. But if you don't get your tongue purified, you're going to start fires that hurt the kingdom instead of help the kingdom. So see this. He said if we could control our tongues, listen, how about James 3:6? And among all parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. So when God says, I need to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire, he's got to free and purify that tongue so it's not lit on fire from hell, but fire from heaven to speak life and speak goodness and be the reflection of who God is in every part of our lives. Why do we need fire? Because we need purity again, Maker's Church. Number two, what does fire do? Fire ignites. How many of you guys know that God has given us gifts that need to be ignited by the fire of the Holy Spirit? Come on. We have to activate them, but it's God who awakens them. And he awakens them when he ignites us with Holy Spirit fire. Fire ignites. What did Paul say to Timothy? And Timothy, oh, is it 1 Timothy? Throw it off the screen. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gifts God gave you when I laid my hands on you. Listen to me. Fire ignites and energizes whatever it touches. No more passive Christianity. No more lukewarm churches. No more apathetic believers. We need fire that ignites and awakens the gifts and the callings and the mantles and the gifts the Holy Spirit has given us to walk in the fullness of what he has for our lives. We need the Holy Spirit to ignite those things. Finally, number three, fire purifies, fire ignites. Number three, fire spreads. Fire spreads. James 3:5 says a tiny spark can set a forest on fire. Some of you guys say, what can I do by myself just being filled with the Holy Ghost and fire? If a tiny spark can set a forest on fire, you can set your school on fire. You can set your job place on fire. You can set your family on fire. All it takes is a little something and it spreads supernaturally. So if we want the fire of the Holy Spirit, understand something. He has not ignited you for you to keep it to yourself. He has ignited you for it to spread in every part of who you are. So we need the Holy Spirit and fire to walk in the fullness of what God has for us. We need the Holy Spirit and fire to be power-filled witnesses. We need the Holy Spirit and fire to be pure. We need the Holy Spirit and fire so the Father can ignite every spiritual gift that he's placed inside of us. And we need the Holy Spirit and fire so we can see a city won in Jesus' name. So we can see families transformed. So we can see marriages restored. So we can see generations come into the kingdom and experience the freedom and the love and the goodness of who Jesus is. And it's all free. If you'll ask Jesus to baptize you, you can receive it in Jesus' name. Come on, stand to your feet all over the room today. Man, I feel the Holy Spirit here. It's so strong today.